Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Hello and welcome to this Monday postcast. I'm Maddie Plell, joined in the studio by a very dynamic duo, if I do say so myself, Robbie Wilders and Stuart Riley. And we also have Paul Binfield joining us to review the weekend's action from Paddy Power. Now, traditionally, probably not the strongest weekend card, but we did have two pretty interesting grade ones that we're going to have a look back on. Let's start off with Sandown then, and the Tolworth hurdle was the feature there. Fiddler on the Roof, well-backed Binners, and he was an impressive winner.
Yes, he was, Manny. It was great to see. Just quickly, I haven't been on the postcast for a while, and I promised the Noel Faley Racing Syndicate a mention. I met them at Cheltenham December meeting with Dave Cross, and they won a nice race with Goodbye Dancer, and we had a good time there. So nice to see you, lads. As far as Fiddler on the Roof goes, yeah, we think he's more of a supreme horse, Maddie, but I no doubt you experts will talk about it in a minute, whether he's a supreme or a Ballymore horse. We went 12-1 from 33 immediately after the race. That was too big, and he's now into 8-1. And for the Ballymore, we make Colin Tizard's potential superstar a 12-1 chance from 20-1.
Brilliant. Stuart, I'll go to you first then. A race which looked quite competitive initially, but did it turn out that way? I mean, a few underperformed. How would you rate Fiddler on the Roof based on his win?
I thought he was quite impressive. I think it's one of those. He definitely is well suited to heavy ground round Sandown. It can be quite testing there. So for him, like, he definitely handles those conditions and that specific test quite how the race would have played out. Different track, different ground. It would have been a very different race if it had been good to soft at Kempton, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. So you've got to factor that in slightly. I think to me the Supreme looks the right race for him. He looks a really strong stayer. He goes from the front. You think what Willie Mullins did all those years with the likes of Duvan. Was he in the Supreme?
He had Min,
and then he had Melon. They all went off the front, and they all set a real. Champagne Fever was another. They all set a really strong gallop. They all ground it down the hill, and then kick turning for home. And he looks in that mould. I could see that sort of performance from him. Whether something comes by him or not, I wouldn't want to say just now. But he looks a real solid contender and made for that race.
Yeah, I'd be inclined to agree, Robbie. I think he's got a lot of pace, and as Stuart said, he stays very well. I mentioned the form. I mean, Jeremy's Flame was second. You know, the likes of Hang In There was disappointing. Silver Hallmark was disappointing. Son of Camus probably not quite ready for this test just yet, but would you be agreeing with us, Supreme?
If it came out good soft, I might be more inclined to go for the Ballymore. And if he did do that, I'd probably say he's probably the one that could put it up to Envoy Allen in that race. He obviously, as Stu says, really suited by the conditions at Sandown that day. He's won by about six lengths. Impressive enough. I thought the third horse, Son of Camas, he had some pretty smart form. He'd only run once over hurdles before, beating King Roland, who's a horse I quite like. So yeah, I think it's a good performance, and he's only getting better and better.
The Veterans Final, a lovely contest, of course, run in memory of Hublon de Zobo, who we lost at the track recently, was won by Jepek for Anthony Honeyball and his team. Tipped up by Paul Keeley, by Pricewise, by various other people, and he delivered, but not after getting interfered with by the loose horse. Robbie, I mean, initial takeout from this race?
Yeah, I think it was a lovely bit of placing from Anthony Honeyball. Pretty lightly raced for his age. He's 11, but he's not got that many miles on the clock. Winning a couple of novice hurdles. Going right-handed very much seems the key to him. And he's obviously done it well considering what happened in the race. The loose horse impeded him and he would have won by a bit further, and he scrambled home, and it was a lovely ride from Rex Dingle. So yeah, I don't know where he'll go next, but he's definitely a horse on the improve despite his age.
Yeah, looked to sort of want as if he was going right a little bit at some of his fences and in the closing stages, but maybe that was just to do with the interference. Stuart, lots of talk about a five-day festival and different races being axed at the festival. Would you be in favour of a veterans race being introduced or not?
I don't think so for the festival. I think the thing that's lovely about it having this day at Sandown is it really has sort of pride of place within the racing calendar. I think it would get a bit lost at the festival, plus a decent number of those horses can run in other races. It's not like they don't have the options there. So, yeah, I don't see the need for a veterans race at the festival, definitely not at Cheltenham. You could argue that maybe you could introduce one at Aintree. And, you know, those older experienced horses around the national fences, that'd be a sight to behold. But I think it's one of those where I'm all for increasing the programme for these horses, but I don't necessarily think it needs to be at Cheltenham. Like, they've got a big day, and it's a standout in the calendar for them, as opposed to something that would get a bit lost at Cheltenham.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's a valid point. Robbie, what do you think? I mean,
yeah,
it's grown in stature, hasn't it, this series?
It's a nice programme, but I think people need to stop tampering with Cheltenham, really. I think it's already... And its current format is brilliant. There's not really anything I'd personally change. And obviously these staying chasers have already got the Ultima or the Kim Muir that they could go for. So another staying handicap chase, I don't think is really necessary at all. Good initiative, but I agree with Stu. Let's keep it away from Cheltenham.
Okay, and on to Cheltenham then. Would you be therefore both against adding an extra day? Robbie, will go to you first.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just, I think it's perfect. I'm in favour of nothing particularly changing. We're under threat of diluting the quality of the festival, adding another day. 4 days is long enough. You can make a case for it going down to three. But no, I'm very happy with its current format. That's how I've grown up watching it, and I don't see a need for change.
Okay. Are you in this similar boat?
Yeah, I'd echo what Robbie said there, really. I don't think we're at the point where anyone's crying out for 5 days, apart from the commercial.
I was going to say, if it was introduced, it would sell out, wouldn't it?
So I mean, yeah, it would do well commercially. They'd make more money out of it, which at the end of the day, if I could make more money out of doing something, I'd probably strongly consider it as well. But yeah, I think there's plenty of other concerns there, and yeah, I'm not necessarily in the camp where it's needed at the moment. I mean, as Lee's piece highlights in today's paper, there's five races up for the axe, you know, that are being considered. If you've got five races that you can consider getting rid of, then you're probably not in a position where you should be adding more. Mm. If anything, get rid of all five of them and go back to 3 days. That was much better.
Yeah, I mean, that was before my time, but I'm, you know, all for considering that and giving it a go. Good action also at Wincanton, but the big race we're going to talk about at Nace is our next port of call. And Envoy Alain, he's on the screens behind us, extended his unbeaten record, beating Elixir Danae in that Lawlers of Nace novice hurdle. Again, one of the grade ones that have been, as this horse has been a real sort of leading light for the Irish this season, and no doubt he's been dubbed as a bit of a Cheltenham banker. What price are you on him for those targets now?
Yeah, he's solidified his position at the front of the Ballymore Novices Hurdle medal. He's now 5-4 favourite from 13-8 favourite before the race. Gordon Elliott said he'll be entered in all of the novice hurdles. So we've also got him in the Supreme market. He's second best in that at 7 to 1. So, but probably the Ballymore does look the race for him, in my opinion.
Okay, Robbie, Champion Hurdle, Supreme, Ballymore. Where would you go?
From a betting perspective, I've already backed him in a double, him, Envoy and Champion Hurdle, with Abracadabras in the Supreme, about 140-1. So I quite like to see him go there. I think Abracadabras is top class, and he dispatched him pretty easily in the Royal Bond. So I wasn't discouraged by his performance. I know a couple of people were saying maybe he wasn't as impressive, but I think Elixir Danae and Longhouse Poet are very smart horses as well. He probably shouldn't have been shortened for Cheltenham targets, but I think it's fair to say he's probably the best novice we've seen in a long time. And I hope connections are bold and go for the big time at Cheltenham, because I know Gordon Elliott did it with LeBake at Punchtown. He chucked him in open company. I wouldn't rule it out. They've not got that much to lose, really, have they, in a very wide open Champion Hurdle.
Yeah, you're right. There's not an awful lot of sort of great horses in the Champion Hurdle, I think you could argue. Stu, would he be that good just yet? I'm not sure, really.
Why not?
I don't know. I mean, I think the second horse could well be very good. You and I talked about that after the race, but I just think he's sort of a staying chaser in the making for me. And although he's obviously unbeaten so far and shown plenty of pace, I'm just not quite jumping on that bandwagon just yet. I think the Champion Hurdle demands a different set of skills from him.
I think it probably plays to his strengths quite well, I feel. He's a sort of horse that... he's immensely exciting for all the... I mean, there's been a few people saying that he's getting hyped up too much too early. Like, I'm not buying that. Like, Gordon Elliott
we
doesn't.
We have to champion these stars.
Yeah,
don't
no,
we, as
but
well?
Also like Gordon doesn't really talk up these horses for no reason. Like Don Cossack was the first one.
Mm.
Sam Crow. I know things have gone wrong with him over the last two seasons, but there's a problem there, isn't there? Like there's been a cause. He was definitely a superstar as a novice,
and still I think, a Ballymore winner.
Yeah, exactly. And I think this horse is very much in that bracket. He's very exciting. I thought his performance on Sunday was seriously good. And yeah, why wouldn't you go for a champion hurdle with him? Like, what's going to beat him in a champion hurdle? He's really well suited to that test. Like you say, he's a strong stayer, which you need to be for that race. He travels well. He finds plenty. He comes up that hill. He'll love a battle. Like, if anything, having a smaller field but a classier, well, not even necessarily like massively classier, but like a small but select field that's gonna like tow him in and set up the race for him. I think the champion hurdle's kind of the obvious race to go for with him. Okay. And the thing I thought that was very interesting was Gordon talking on Sunday, and he sort of was saying that he was leaning towards keeping him in novice company, but he really was sort of at pains to say, oh no, he will be in the champion hurdle and we will talk to the owners about it. Like, he's definitely moving more and more in the direction of not being dismissive about the champion hurdle anymore.
Mm. Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because I sort of get that his way of thinking with it is, oh, until we have to make that jump up, maybe we won't. But who knows, connections, they may change their mind. Envoi Alain, yeah, we'll see where he ends up. Another horse who caught a lot of people's eyes, I think it's probably worth a quick mention, is Hysterion Falange. He's been introduced into your Supreme Market, Binners.
Outsider at the moment, Maddie at 33-1, but could do no more than he did at Nace. And, let's see where he goes now. I'm sure he'll turn up somewhere like the Dublin Racing Festival one more run, and then we'll see him at Cheltenham. But compared to the likes of Envoi Alain, he's still got a bit to do.
Yeah, he certainly does have a bit to find just yet if we're looking at the Supreme for Hysterion Falange. Binners, before we go for a break and we look ahead to some of the action this week, Robbie, I just wanted to get a horse from you and indeed from you, Stuart and Binners, that you took out of the weekend looking forward. Who's yours?
For me, Eldorado Alain, not to another Alain, who is looking like a potentially very smart horse. He was a close second to Mill Green in the 2 mile handicap hurdle at Sandown on Saturday, off Michael 145. It was his first run since he took a crashing fall at Aintree in 2018. As only his third start over hurdles, he's come second off 145. He stayed on really nicely. He was very weak in the betting beforehand. Drifted out from about 4-1 to sevens. He's obviously run a massive race there. He looks like potentially a very smart staying hurdler in time. So yeah, he'll be entering my tracker. Actually, he already is in it. So
he'll be staying in your
tracker.
He'll
be remaining in it.
Yeah, we all know I'm a big Eldorado Alain fan, and he didn't do my confidence any harm by finishing second on his return. It was a pretty hard race, that, wasn't it? Binners, I'll go to you next.
Yeah, I'm going for the horse that finished second to Envoi Alain, Elixir Danae, for Willie Mullins in that Grade 1 novice hurdle at Nace. I thought it was interesting before the race. Willie Mullins was uncharacteristically bullish about this horse and how he thought he could give Envoi Alain a good race. He did. He set the running, and Envoi Alain was just too good for him. But I think Elixir Danae they'll try and avoid Envoi Alain at Cheltenham now, I would imagine, and something like the Albert Bartley. I think he'd have a massive chance in a race like that.
Okay, that's interesting. I thought maybe even a Supreme or something like that, stepping back down in trip. I agree with you. I think
possibly,
he shaped really
Maddie,
well.
Yeah, but just avoid Envoi Alain at all costs, really.
I'm sure lots of connections going to be trying to do that. Stuart, a notebook horse, please.
Yeah, I agree with Binners. I liked Elixir Danae. The horse that I would put in the tracker, though, would be the Gavin Cromwell horse that he bought over for the
Jeremy's Flame.
Yeah, Jeremy's Flame. I thought an impressive run. Actually, based on form and the pull at the weight she had, like, she was fully entitled to do it. But the fact that she can run in those mares races and she could run in the mares novices hurdle, etc., at the festival, like, there's a really nice campaign for her from this point onwards, and she's definitely a horse of great interest. To go and do what she's done against the boys makes her very interesting back in that company.
Yeah, it certainly does. Getting that allowance, as you say, against the boys, and she didn't jump the last couple of hurdles all that well either, so could well have been a bit closer if not for that. And as promised, we will take a quick break now before we look ahead some of the weekend action.
So does an each way bet mean that my horse has to do part of the race in reverse?
Everyone loves a newbie. That's why Paddy Power Games are giving all new customers 60 free spins on daily jackpot games. New Paddy Power Games customers only. One per customer. T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to this Monday postcast then. And we're going to go to Saturday now. And the Classic Chase that takes place at Warwick. It's a good card, that. Two grade twos there as well. Cheltenham Festival winners in recent years. Willoughby Court won the hurdle. And also, it's a really good staying chase handicap, I find. Some old friends in here. We've got Cross Park. We've got Impulsive Star. Those two have run well in the race before. Milan's Bar, another who fits into that category. And then the conditional horse that a lot of people will be familiar with after his good run in the Ladbrokes Trophy. Binners, no betting just yet. That's for later this afternoon. But who's your selection?
Well, Maddie, you haven't had a massive chance to go through the field, but I was very impressed with Regal Flow in his run at the Veterans, in the Veterans at Sandown on Saturday, beating a Fag Paper by Jepek. That was over 3 miles, stepping up to 3 miles, three miles, 5 furlongs for Bob Buckler. Don't know if he'll run, but if he does, I think that'll suit because he's won a Midlands Grand National before. So initially, I'm going for Regal Flow.
OK, fingers crossed he'll run then. Stuart, who's your pick?
As you mentioned, the conditional's definitely an eye-catching horse in there. I thought he ran an absolute blinder in the Ladbrokes Trophy, and obviously this has been the plan since. The one that I am somewhat interested in and tempted by is Le Brielle, who obviously was very good at Cheltenham last year. These sort of staying trips are what he wants. He was fairly disappointing on his first run over hurdles. Better, but not exceptional last time. The race conditions here massively suit him. The concern would be Ben Pauling's not having the best time of it at the moment.
He's returned a little bit last couple of weeks.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, you've got suggestions he maybe and hopefully is turning the corner, in which case, you know, you can then also be more forgiving of Le Brielle's runs up to this point. And yeah, he's the one at this stage that catches my eye.
Yeah, good run in the Beecher Chase for a long way, wasn't it? I know Keith Melrose, he fancies him for the Grand National, so he'd be hoping of a positive showing from Le Brielle here. Robbie, anything out of the ordinary? What do you reckon?
Certainly not out of the ordinary. Tentative selection for the conditional. Obviously an excellent run behind the Rashid Counter. He's gone up in the Ladbrokes Trophy. He's gone up £5, rated 142. He's really improving for David Bridgewater. Stays really well. It's a bit of a, it's going to be a real staying test of that 3 mile, 5 furlong trip. But I think he's equipped to get it. And I could see him running another big race off 142.
Yeah, he's an interesting horse, isn't he? Because you don't want to hit the front too soon on him, but he seems to stay very well. And as you say, a lot of these are sort of old boys who are used to this trip. He's more unexposed. So the conditional for Robbie then. Kempton also stage a really good card, including a Lanzarote, which we'll get to in just a second. Really good handicap hurdle that, been won by some future stars. But before that, an interesting contest, the 32 Red Stilvignaco Conti Chase, a grade two over 2 miles four, and Altior is set to run again versus Frodon and Top Notch in that. This is a debate that could rumble on and on and on, Stuart, but what would you have done with him after Ascot if he was yours? I mean, Nicky Henderson's come out and said that he wasn't fit enough, he wasn't well equipped for that against Surname. You know, he wasn't right to run over Christmas, and now they're giving this intermediate trip another go.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? I think, first and foremost, you know, I have absolutely no qualms with them going to Ascot with him. I found the whole business over Christmas very odd. He wasn't well enough to run in a King George, but he'd have been fine to run in the Desert Orchid. Then he wasn't fine to run in the Desert Orchid. The whole thing was a bit confusing, really. Like, I kind of feel if he was fine to run in the Desert Orchid, he should have been fine to run in the King George. So it didn't surprise me when he came out of the Desert Orchid.
Would have been annoying if he wasn't, wouldn't it? And he would have run in that Desert Orchid.
Yeah, exactly. And I think he's just one of those horses where I think they're having a really tough season with him. I think they're really struggling. There's been bullish reports, then he's not been showing them the sparkle that they want to see. He's just one of those that I don't think they're having
Is this less a question of trip and more a question of is he as good as he was?
Well, I think they just want to find a race for him at the moment. Like, I think they just want to get him back out and maybe find out the answer to that question themselves. The fact that Nicky's also got top notch in there as a backup plan if maybe Altior doesn't make it on Saturday, you know, he's still got one in there. Like, that would sort of worry me a little bit. Mm. But, you know, I think they're probably concerned that, you know, they want to run. They've said they want to run. But also, Nicky loves this horse and will take care of the horse first and foremost. And if he isn't ready, they won't run him. Mm. So I would be looking to take him on even if he did run.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because with Frodon in there, like you say, top notch, maybe he won't run if Altior does. It could effectively turn into another match similar to Ascot. And Frodon, again, is a very sort of forward running, attacking horse. Could that style expose Altior once again?
I don't think so. I don't think Frodon has it in him, to be honest. And also, I mean, he's another one. As much as Altior hasn't been himself this season, Frodon's not been up to sort of the form he was in last year, has he? I mean, last year's Frodon, the Ryanair Frodon, like, yeah, you'd be terrified taking him on. And for all that Nicky has sort of talked about the way Surname served it up to him, Frodon would definitely be able to do that. But he doesn't strike me as a horse who's in quite the same form either. Like, Top Notch is the one that stands out to me at this stage because he's been in cracking form this season. It was a decent run in the Peterborough. It's his sort of trip, and it may be a race that kind of falls apart for him.
Yeah, let's hope we get to see Altior anyway. Binners, I mean, what do you make of this prospective match? Do you think Altior can be as good over 2.5 miles?
I think he can, Maddie. I think if all six turn up, Altior will win easy. I think he's much better than Frodon. Frodon's no Surname, and Surname certainly didn't let the form down in the King George. Found a very good horse in Flanders Obo. I think Altior will win easily, and I wouldn't be worried about fitness. If he turns up, Nicky Henderson's going to have him pretty straight, a confidence booster, and then consider your Cheltenham target.
Mm, exactly. Talking to Cheltenham targets, Robbie, Champion Chase is going to be the obvious one. You know, he's won it for the last couple of years, and a lot of people saying Ryanair, even talk of Gold Cup before the start of this season if he was to stay that 2.5 miles well. How do you see it? Would you go for the sort of proven, easier option in the Champion Chase, or do you think he needs that distance now?
I don't know. I'm not so sure. I think the Champion Chase this year might look better than it actually did last year.
Mm.
I mean, Henderson said that he didn't think Altior was fully fit going into the Surname match, but he's still running the 170s, and that's still a big run, and that's almost as good as anything he was doing over 2 miles. And every time he won over 2 miles, he was obviously keeping on best at the finish, hitting flat spots. So to me, he still would be better over 2 miles. It is strange, as Stu said, about what he's doing this season, sort of almost turning up to races and then not, and Henderson saying that there's not enough races in the calendar, but I think there are enough races, but he's just obviously not pleasing them enough. The Ryanair would probably be the perfect race for him, but it lacks the prestige. So if you're going anywhere at Cheltenham, I'd probably go Gold Cup and try and do something special over three miles too.
Okay, that's interesting. We'll see how he acts on Saturday, and then who knows, maybe he could end up going for one of the longer distance races at the Cheltenham Festival. The main sort of betting race on that card will be the 240. It's the Lanzarote Handicap Hurdle, as I said. Probably having a look at the initial entries, not the strongest bunch of horses we've ever seen, Stu, but you've unearthed one for us at this early stage.
Yeah, well, I just think Picdori is very interesting. Mm. Had a very big reputation when he came over from Ireland last year. Obviously disappointed somewhat in the Triumph Hurdle. Has had a run this season back over in France where he fell, but, you know, that was, again, in really good company. And he's one of those horses in a handicap who, like, the plan was never to run in the Lanzarote with him. He was meant to be rated £20 higher than he is right now. This is just sheer opportunism from Paul Nicholls, and it's what he's so good at. He's got so many good horses that he just plays his hands. And when he gets a horse like this that turns out to be very well handicapped just through sheer circumstance, he will take full advantage and chuck them in. So he's one at this stage that jumps off the page.
Yeah, he does. It was a shame to see him fall at Auteuil, wasn't it, on his sort of seasonal reappearance. Pick Doherty could have the potential to exceed this mark. Binners, I know no market yet, but he's bound to be towards the top of it when it does come out. Who did you fancy?
Well, I always like Gary Moore representatives in these big handicap hurdles. He's got one, Aragon de Chanet. Hasn't done a lot in his last couple of runs, but a bit disappointing, to be fair. But the horse is off the same mark as he won at Wincanton in February. So I'll be tempted to have a couple of quid each way on him, but probably a big price in what is a big race, a big week for Gary Moore, as he's got Goshen in the big... Chatteris Fen at Huntingdon on Friday.
Yeah, exactly. Triumph Hurdle Hope, isn't he? Goshen. Anyway, we'll move on. Robbie, your selection for the Lanzarote?
My selection is very much the same as Stu. Pick Doherty, fascinating runner. He's off 1.46. We've not seen a lot of him, but he was second in an Auteuil Grade 1 before he joined Nichols. He's always going to be a bit of a baptism of fire running in the Triumph on his first start for the trainer. He could make an absolute mockery of that mark, the way they're talking about him, that this is definitely a Grade 1 horse. So 1.46 against a field which doesn't look really that deep. He could absolutely hack up off that mark. So it'd be very interesting to see if he turns up.
OK, brilliant. Two votes for Pick Doherty then. Be interesting to see who lines up in that final field for the Lanzarote. We're going to take a look at the midweek action and get some next bests and naps from the lads just after this.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back then to this final instalment of the Monday postcast. We've looked back, now we're going to look forward. And the racing this week, we have Lingfield Taunton and Southwell on Tuesday, Ludlow Newcastle Kempton Wednesday, Catterick Leicester Newcastle Chelmsford Clonmel on Thursday, and Huntingdon, that good race that Binners mentioned, on Friday, along with Sedgefield, Lingfield, Wolverhampton and Dundalk. Let's get some selections. Let's not give the naps away just yet, gents. Binners, I'll go to you first. Who's your first fancy?
Well, I just mentioned the Chatteris Fen. Maddie, I'm going to stick with that as it's my local track. Got to give it a bit of publicity. 2.45 on Friday. Goshen's going to take a bit of beating for Gary Moore, but I'm going to take him on. I'm going to go with Fraser Island for Nicky Henderson. He's won the race twice in the last 9 years. Fraser Island was backed as if defeat was out of the question on his hurdling debut at Newbury last month, and he won by 11 lengths. So I think he can definitely give Goshen a very, very good race and possibly even beat him.
Yeah, wasn't a bad horse on the flat, was he, at Fraser Island? Good hurdling debut from him at Newbury. Stuart, who's your next best?
There's a few horses that catch my eye. I think Speridex, pretty interesting, over hurdles at Taunton. He runs in the 3 o'clock on Tuesday there. £6 lower mark over hurdles. He's had a wind up, so he's an interesting runner. And then John Joe O'Neill has a horse in at Lingfield, also on the Tuesday, in the 1.15, called Orisdale. And it's frankly a terrible race. He's got to win it.
Okay, nicely summed up. I saw you smiling there. He stole your tip, hasn't
he? I'm smiling because it's going to sound like, to people listening, I'm just copying what Stu says, but I've got Speridec in my notes as well. indeed. Speridec, the case is clear. He was pulled up on his first start after a wind-up last time over the 3 miles. He's never been a 3 mile away races. He was never going to get home there. Dropped back to a more suitable trip over 2.3. Very decent hurdles mark of 1.37. £17 lower than he was over fences this time last year. So I'd expect a very big run off that mark. And this could be a nice confidence booster as he moves on to better things throughout the season.
Yeah, I certainly believe you because you've got your notes there. Stuart's got not a whole pile. Yeah, a little bit.
Not as thorough.
Yeah, not as thorough as Robbie. I don't think
he can speak very eloquently, so.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's going to be beating Robbie in the notes department. So, Speridec then at the key horse for those two. You two are going to make an absolute mockery of this show today, aren't you? Let's get the naps now then.
This will not be beaten.
I'll go to you first, Robbie. Stuart's taking your notes.
Stuart's pinched my notes. I'm not too happy with him, but it's all up there, though. I don't actually need the notes, I don't think. We're going to go for Getter Bird in the Dan Moore Memorial Handicap Chase, 2 mile, 1 furlong. Bit of a forgotten horse, really. Lest we forget, he was sent off a very short prospect for the Supreme a couple of years ago. He's had a bit of a patchy time of things of late, but he made a really nice comeback on his seasonal return. He'd beat some good horses, Paloma Blue, Castle Brook. He goes off 1-5-1 there. The right-handed track is obviously the key to him. And this could still be a Grade 1 horse. I'm quite convinced of that when he gets his condition. So 1-5-1, cash in on that, please.
Okay, that's the 2-10.
He's absolutely nailed it.
2-10 at Fairy House on Saturday, I'm presuming, Stuart?
I can't read Robbie's handwriting. So.
2:10 okay. At Fairy House on Saturday. I hadn't revised the race time.
There we go.
There
we can't miss that out, or else Bruce will be on the phone. He won't be too happy. Right, take it away, Stuart. Who's your nap?
My nap is a Donald McCain horse in the 2:05 at Catterick on Thursday. Horse called Manila Trump. I am really quite hoping that the Philip Hobbs horse, Pylon, and the Tom George horse, Come On Teddy, are both entered up against it so that you get a bit of a price about him, because they can both run. They're going to get absolutely thumped. This thing's a good thing.
Nice confidence then from Stuart. And finally, Binners, who's your nap?
Well, Maddie, I briefed Robbie beforehand. I'm glad he remembered a few things I told him about Get a Bird. But my nap is Diamond Gate in the 3:00 at Taunton on Tuesday for Kim Bailey with David Bass, 2 mile, 3 furlong handicap hurdle. This horse was third at Huntingdon last month for over 2 miles, stayed on really well at the end, didn't quite get to the front two, but was only beaten half a length, and I think the extra 3 furlongs will help him immensely.
Okay, superb. Thanks very much, Binners. Thanks, Stuart and Robbie, for your time today. That's all we have time for. Bruce and the team will be back on Friday to discuss all the tipping you need for the weekend. Then make sure to rate, review and subscribe as per usual, and we'll see you soon. Best of luck with wherever you're betting this week.
I'm Jose Mourinho. I know a thing or two about being special. Getting a road named after you in your hometown, special. Winning the daily jackpot on Paddy Power Games, not special.
Understood, Jose. Yes, someone wins an average £40,000 jackpot every single day. So if you win, don't think you're special. Daily jackpots by Paddy Power Games. Jackpots must be awarded by 11 p.m. and vary from day to day. Jackpot is shared with other operators, available on selected games. T's and C's at paddypower.com. 18+ BGambleAware.org.